I'm one of these kind of people, you know, I just hate to give up. But thanks. I appreciate it more than I can say. I'm not a talker. Did you sing? You sang, didn't you? It's my turn now, folks. John chapter 3. Thank y'all. Love y'all. Hey, I love them little boys that come up here and them little girls over there. Amen? Amen? Boy, you better watch them donuts, though. We're going to sing some more, aren't we, boys and girls? John chapter 3. The greatest expression of God's love is communicated in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, put your name right there, whosoever, you're whosoever. Amen? That's another one of these pronouns that the liberals want to add to their gender. What about a whosoever? Whosoever believeth in him, that is in God's Son, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Would you pray with me? Loving God, our Father, thank you for this beautiful verse of Scripture. Thank you for the message of this verse, that you love people so much. Oh God, if I could somehow get it across to this congregation today, just how much you love every one of them. Oh God, if I just had the ability to just help them understand how important they are to you. That you just gave your very best, your all, to rescue every one of them, to keep them from perishing. Because they would have perished. We would all have perished had not you sent your Son to die the most horrible death there has ever been, when the wrath of God Almighty was poured out on him, because our sins were this awful in your sight. Help me to share this message, Lord. I'm not capable, nor worthy, but help me for Jesus, Lord. And help this congregation to be encouraged and challenged. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans 5:8 says the same thing, but God commended his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were still a sinner, disobeying him, Christ died for us. We don't usually operate like that, do we? People do us wrong, we're not too quick to want to help them or bless them. God's love is agape love. Agape is used to describe the love that is of God and from God, whose very nature is love itself. Love is not God, but the Bible says God is love. 1 John 4:8. God does not merely love, he is love itself. Everything God does flows from his love. See, I got amen on that. Nobody else wasn't amen it. What does it mean that God is love? Love is an attribute of God. Love is the heart of God's character, who He is. God's love is in no sense in conflict with His holiness, His righteousness, His justice, or even His wrath. All of God's attributes are in perfect harmony. Everything God does is loving. Even when He chastens us, He does it in a loving manner. Has mama ever took you by the hand and would limp that long for the peach tree and said, "This hurts me more than you," and I didn't believe it? She was doing it because she said she loved us. She wanted us to be better children. God does us the same way. And you know what's so sad in our country today? With all this liberal thinking, children aren't allowed to be spanked or disciplined anymore. You can get in hot water now. And that's the reason we got the country in the shape it's in today. The Bible tells us, spare not the rod. Because every one of us, that was a little sinner railed out there on me a while ago. Amen? Sweet little sinner. Do you know one day if that child ain't raised right, it'll wind up in hell? That's scary to think about, isn't it, brother? That little thing, innocent. If it's not raised up to know Jesus Christ, we'll wind up in hell. My youngin' in hell? Everything God does is loving, just as everything He does is just and right. Whatever God allows in your life is just and right. We may not understand it or comprehend it, but God's ever in control of everything that happens in our life. Amen. I can't explain it other than that. But you remember this. God loves you. Don't you ever forget that. On your darkest day, don't you ever forget God loves you how much? Let His Son die for you. Please don't ever forget that. The love of God is the perfect example of true love. God's love is true. His love is perfect. All amazingly, God also has given all who receive His Son Jesus as His personal, as their personal Savior, He's given us the ability to love as He does through the power of the Holy Spirit. God loves us because that is His nature. That's His nature. That's the way He is. He's a God of love. Isn't it awesome that the Creator of all things just happens to be a God of love? What if the devil made everything? Sometimes it seems like he has, don't it, here lately. Yes, God loves because that's His nature and the expression of His being. God just loves to bless people. And this book is filled with how to be blessed if you listen to what He says. My problem has been listening to what He said. I bet it's your problem too. Even the most saintly people in the Bible, as we study the Bible, we find out they had the same problem, don't we, brother? That's because we're sinners. God loves the unlovable. Have you ever saw people you just couldn't love them to save your life? Dr. Charles Sanders said one time about a certain person in church, I can't express it like my wife can, but he'd see that woman come in and hold me. Oh, dear God, he'd say. Oh, he told that. Yeah, God loves because that's his nature and the expression of his being. He loves the unlovable and he loves the unlovely because he's love. Not because we deserve it, but to be loved or because of any excellency we possess, but because it's his nature to love. He must be true to his nature. He's going to love you no matter who you are, no matter how wicked you are, no matter how sinful and godly you are, he still loves you. Isn't that awesome? Why? Because he's a God of love. What he has did has sent his son to change us all to be loving people. To be like him. We're supposed to be like Jesus, who is God, folks. The same God that so loved the world is the same God that walked down the streets of Jerusalem as a human. I'll tell you what, now, if that weren't something, that's something. That the creator of the universe could be a human. And when we get to heaven, that's who we're going to see, is Jesus, God. I can't fill in all the other blanks concerning that. But we're going to see Jesus, a human. God's love is displayed most clearly at the cross. That's where God's love is proved. The cross proves God loves you. If there hadn't been a cross where Jesus died, you and I would live and die, go to hell, no question. No matter how good you are, you think, you'd still go to hell. Humans can't understand that to save their life. I'm a good person. That's by human standards. Hey, but when you talk about God's standard, it's a different thing. And everybody's got to be on God's standard to go to heaven. And the only way to be on God's standard to go to heaven is to be like Jesus. How am I going to be like Jesus? Got to be born again. You got to realize you're that lost sinner. You need forgiveness. You need salvation. The cross shows how much we are loved. Romans 5:8 again says, God commended his love towards us and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He died for us. He didn't die for no angel. Isn't that interesting? He didn't die for the angels. The angels that sinned against God don't have no Savior. They don't have no salvation. They're going to be lost forever. But God, who is rich in mercy. Aren't you glad God's a merciful God, folks? For his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, when we were determined to sin. We sin because we're sinners. And we love to sin, don't we? You know the reason there's empty pews in this church this morning and other churches? People love to sin. They're left to sin. They're left to do what they want. You know, praise God, I can honestly say this today to all of y'all and to God Almighty, I'm doing what I want to do today.
Amen?
Amen?
Yes, sir.
God changed my life one day. When God changes your life, you'll do what God wants you to do, and you'll be so happy. The Apostle Paul tells us about agape love in 1 Corinthians 13. You need to read that whole chapter sometime. When you get home, after you've had lunch, get your old book out. Turn to 1 Corinthians 13 and read that chapter. That's about agape love that you and I are to be like. I'm going to read a couple of verses. Charity, our love, suffereth long. Suffereth long. Love suffereth long. And is kind. You know, if there's one thing we could do as church people, Christian people, Mr. Chavis, you could be kind to me sometime. The old rascal told me this morning to go pick some peas. I got to go pick peas. Be kind to me. My wife's a loving peas today, folks. Charity envieth not. Charity or love vaunteth not itself. Do you think you're better than that person sitting inside of you? Did you know the person sitting inside of you, the same God made them, made you? You know what? Since he made you, he said, I'm going to make somebody up. Maybe I'll do better. Right, Brother Chavis? Y'all follow what I said? You get to thinking you're better than somebody else? Love is not puffed up. Boy, we got them puffed up today, ain't we? I tell you, our politicians, it's a good thing I ain't God. Does not behave itself unseemly. Love acts like it's supposed to act. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity or lawlessness, but rejoices in the truth. You like the truth? Love beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. That's what Paul tells us about agape love that's supposed to be influencing our lives as Christian men and women. Again, I challenge you to read that chapter. This is how we're supposed to love, Paul outlines for us. The world needs people displaying God's love. How's people going to know about God's love if they don't see it in us? The church. You see, we're church. We're Christ's body, folks. You saved? Are you a saved person? You're Christ's body. You're representing Jesus Christ. You're impressing people about Christ by the way you live and I live. We're his body in this world. As believers, we're an extension of God's love. Think about that. As believers, we're an extension of God's love. With all the anger and hate and bitterness and prejudice The human heart is desperately in need of the love of God. Amen? Nothing will change the heart like the love of God. A heart devoid of the love of God is cold. It's hard. It's empty. A heart without the love of God has no peace. And it's as restless as the wind. So I've been talking about God's love, loving you. Loved you as a sinner. Loved you before you were saved. And he still loves you. Now I want to talk to you a little bit about the love of God in a different manner, if I might. At the lowest time in my life, when I hit rock bottom. I've hit rock bottom. But I want to talk to you about God's love when I hit rock bottom. What is God's love like? We know he loves us, but what is it like? Do you know what God's love is like? I want you to think of the most love your heart can produce towards someone right now. The one you love the most. Or maybe it's a cat or a dog. The most loved thing. Now think of that feeling of love you have. Love is wonderful, isn't it? That feeling of love is special. Someone loving you. You loving someone else. Yet the one loved is not necessarily affected by your love sometimes. Did you know that? You listened to some of the country music and you can detect that. Think about someone who loves you, how you feel about being loved by them. Have you ever really, really experienced God's love in a real way? When God so desired his loving presence can come upon a person in a way that's indescribable. His presence can come with such ecstasy, there's no words to tell the wonder of God's love. When you're down at the bottom, when people like Saul of Tarsus, even though he hated Christians, hated Jesus, and John the Apostle, who was a believer, when they were confronted by the resurrected, glorified Lord Jesus Christ, you know what happened to them? They fell prostrate at his feet. His overpowering presence and his love and the love emulating from him overwhelmed these men. His very presence, the love coming from him, overwhelm them. They feel helpless. God's loving presence came upon them and they were smitten with joy and love. If you ever experience God's loving presence, you too will fall limp and helpless before Him, just like they did. Not a single muscle in your body will move, and you will not respond in any manner as you lay prostrate and helpless. Why? Because the overpowering presence of God by His Spirit is so wonderful, it's incredible, it's tremendous, and you're just being loved by God. And you can't do anything but praise Him. If you really experience the loving presence of God, you will never be the same. You will not care about what the world has to offer. The only desire is to please and serve the one who loves you so much. I'm not able to adequately tell you how loving the love of God is. But money won't buy it. It's a life-changing experience. I hadn't got over it yet. When God's love envelops you, all you can do is praise Him, love Him, enjoy Him, desire Him, surrender fully and completely to Him. Nothing else matters. You have met God. Don't y'all tell me there ain't no God. I know better. There is nothing like being encompassed by the love of God. It's an experience you'll never forget when the reality of God's overpowering presence comes upon you. What is even more fantastic, one day, listen to this, I'm going to live forever in that kind of an environment, basking in the love of God. I'm going to live forever in that one day. I've already tasted it. Great day. Folks don't know what they're missing. What saddens my heart is we preach and preach and preach, and it seems nobody's listening. And what they going to miss? They're going to miss it. It's available. It's free. But it changed my life when I was at the very bottom. I had said, I'm going to find out if there's really a God. I had got saved at 14. But in my late 20s, I needed God. I really needed God, Brother Chavis. I needed God. Because I was at the place there was nowhere to go. But I found God. No, God found me. It appears people rather have this life and this world over the love of God. And I believe that's true. The Apostle Paul says, it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Oh, what glory is waiting, folks, for all the believers in Jesus one glad day. Y'all just don't read your Bible, and you still can't comprehend what's waiting on the other side. Amen. Just living where God's love is radiating upon us in a land free from sorrows, free from fear and death. How we're going to love him and enjoy him, and he's going to be loved by all of us. We're going to love him who loved us so much. Ah, today we, even in church, folks, we just take it for granted. Folks, if we draw nigh to God, it'll change your life. He said, draw nigh to him and he'll draw nigh to us. You got to take the step. Back when I was low, I'd pray all night long and then go to work. Praying while I was working. Boy, when I come home from prayer meeting one night, I'd been praying several hours because I needed God. I needed God! I want to tell you, help them open up. I could tell y'all some things today y'all wouldn't believe. You'd say I'm crazy. Ought to write a book, but people still say I'm crazy. But I want to tell you that God is real. I can't express him. But I tell you, what I preach is his word. I'm preaching his word. And he said, if you'll draw nigh to him, he'll draw nigh to you. Because he wants you to know him. He wants to be real to you. How are we going to love him and enjoy him, and he's going to be loved by all of us? Today, the unsaved do not understand the hope we have, folks. They do not think we know what we're talking about. I'm just an old ignorant country preacher. Well, that might be true, but I know God. I did go to Pembroke a little while. Amen? But I'll guarantee you they didn't know God over there. Great day, them professors. And even worse now. The Apostle Paul tells us why they think and act the way they do in their unbelief. 1 Corinthians 2:14. Take your Bible. You need to mark this verse in your Bible, church. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Paul wrote this to the believers there at the church to tell them why unbelievers acted like they did. He says, the natural man, that is the unsaved person, receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, and neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now that's what's happened with all these atheists, scoffers, infidels. The unsaved are acting normal, folks. They supposed to act like them Democrats we got in Washington now. Praise God, I ain't never voted for a Democrat. And I sure ain't gonna ever start. The unsaved, they act natural. That's the way they are. That's their true condition. The unsaved are separated from God. They need Him, but they don't know it. They think they're smart. Unsaved people think the Bible is not true. Boy, they got some of them who's got the highest education. They're PhDs. But you know what? You can have three or four or half a dozen PhDs and not know everything. They think there are contradictions in the Bible. We heard about that this week, me and Faye. Someone said there's contradictions in the Bible. There's not a single contradiction in the Bible. It's because blind people can't understand. They think some old men long ago wrote this ancient writing of the Bible. Well, maybe they did, but God told them to. Amen? Unsaved people are blind to what the Bible tells us. Unsaved people are deceived by the word of God says. The devil's deceiving people. But the Bible is true. The Bible is the word of God. Jesus Christ himself said, thy word is truth. In John 17 and 17b. When we as God's people come into His holy divine presence, we are going to be saturated by the love of God. When you step across the threshold into heaven, you're going to experience the love of God like you've never imagined. Great day in the morning, folks. Is there anyone in here this morning don't want to be loved? Everybody wants to be loved. Well, God loves you. I've been talking about God loves you. And then I switched it a little bit. I've been trying to tell you what God's love is like. It can't be explained. It's so good. It's so good. It's so wonderful. It's so thrilling. Fantastic. The English language don't have the adjectives to describe it. It's so outstanding and wonderful. It's going to be God's delight to love us forever. Think about it. You're going to be loved forever. You know, it's not going to be but one day when we get to heaven. And that one day is going to last forever. And it's going to be, God loves me forever. And we're going to love Him back. That He would say, we're going to really realize then how unworthy we were to be loved. When we see Him in the scars. Don't you let some unbelieving atheist or scoffer or infidel upset you with their ungodly beliefs. Don't you listen to these people. I don't care how much education they got. They're still an ignoramus about God if they don't know Him. You keep putting all your faith and your hope in the promises of the Word of God. It's true. I'll guarantee you it's true. Amen. Every bit of it's true. Yes, too many before us and with us today know that the Bible is the infallible, eternal Word of God. God does love you. I don't care how many problems you've got. I don't care what's going on in your life. God loves you, and God's in control of what's going on. Amen. And all you need to do is wise up and just turn your life completely over to Him and mean it. And I'll guarantee you He'll change your life. Bless your life. God says He loves us And if you never in this life experience the overwhelming presence of the Lord, you will one day. You will one day. And you'll say, well, that old preacher was right. God did love me. God does love me. And my, how wonderful heaven is. And folks, that's the reason God put up a cross and sent his son to die on it. Because he don't want nobody to be lost. Folks, people are going to hell every day. I heard last night, 200 die on drugs every day in our country. Every day, 200. I forget how many soldiers. I believe it's 22 soldiers commit suicide every day. I don't know how many abortions are made nearly every day. People are leaving this world. What about the man that was in prison for or in jail because of all the sex crimes he was involved with, and they found him dead this week, yesterday, Friday, I believe it was. They say he killed himself. If he killed himself, he's in worse shape now than spending a lot of time in prison. There's a hell. And hey, you don't want nobody to go to hell, folks. Not even the worst person in the world. You don't want them to go to hell. God don't. God don't want nobody to go to hell. And they're going. The Bible says hell's enlarging itself to receive all the people that's rejecting Jesus. And God loves every one of them. They're rejecting that love. Let's be faithful to the Lord. Let's love the Lord. Do you know the Lord today? He's knowable. God is knowable. If you mean business, he's knowable. Today, our invitation is, if you don't know the Lord, why don't you come today and let us talk to you about the Lord? Maybe you know somebody that don't know the Lord. Why don't you come to the altar and pray for them this morning? Maybe you've wandered away from the Lord. Why don't you come this morning back to the Lord and cry out to the Lord? Hey, folks, God's ear is open to hear the cry of the righteous, I'm telling y'all. As God's people, we got to mean business with God. God wants us to be concerned. And if we're not concerned as Christian people, we're going to lose this nation. We're going to wake up one morning and it's going to be awful. It's going to be awful, folks. We better get serious about being a Christian. As Christians, we better not be playing around with it. We better get serious about being a Christian, living for the Lord, doing what God wants us to be doing as God's people.